Welcome to Shift with CJ. I'm your host CJ, and together we will explore the areas of health, human performance, biohacking, psychology, and much more that will inspire you to become the best version of yourself.
I'm sure you have seen your favorite celebrity or you've seen your favorite athlete go into a chamber which looks like an oxygen chamber. And Maria is an expert on that. So Maria, first of all, what exactly is this hyperbaric treatment?
What the therapy does and how it looks, yes, indeed, you enter a chamber that is pressurized and you are breathing oxygen under increased pressure. There is two components to the therapy. There is increased oxygen and increased pressure.
It sounds like a simple thing. And now, you know, one of the most interesting things that you've said is the pressure driving the oxygen within the cells. Because there are a lot of people out there which will just get an oxygen generator and they will just put some oxygen. But this whole effect of increasing the pressure, which I'm sure increases the oxygen by 2 to 3 times.
It depends on what amount of oxygen we're breathing. There is variations to this therapy we can do to understand that increase of the oxygen that you've mentioned. There is a soft shell chambers and hard shell chambers.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of the Shift with CJ podcast. Today, I'm super excited because I get to talk about something that I love, which is longevity, biohacking, and peak performance. And to do that, I welcome Maria on the show today. Welcome.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, welcome to the Shift with CJ podcast. Maria, how are you doing today?
I'm very good. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. I'm super excited because, you know, on the Shift with CJ podcast, we talk about so many different alternative therapies and biohacks. And one of the things that everyone's been asking me for a long time is hyperbaric oxygen therapy. Now, this is a mouthful, everyone, but I'm sure you have seen your favorite celebrity or you have seen your favorite athlete go into a chamber with a mask, which looks like an oxygen chamber. And Maria is an expert on that. So Maria, first of all, I want to know, what exactly is this hyperbaric treatment?
Okay, let's start with that. We all, I think of Michael Jackson probably when we first hear
exactly.
That. What the therapy does and how it looks, yes, indeed, you enter a chamber that is pressurized and you are breathing oxygen under increased pressure. Mm-hmm. So usually treatments that are done in the clinics require you to breathe 100% oxygen under increased pressure, usually ranging from 1.5 to say under 3 atmosphere absolute, unless it's a severe case of decompression, let's say, but we can maybe speak about it later. Mm-hmm. And what it does, so there is two components to the therapy. There is increased oxygen and increased pressure. And this is where it's important to understand the difference between just breathing extra amount of oxygen. Mm-hmm. So our blood is, for example, me and you now, probably if we test ourselves with oximeter, we would say probably around 97-98% oxygen saturation of our blood. Breathing oxygen, additional oxygen, we would perhaps reach 100%, but this is our limit on the surface as we are now. With hyperbarics, the pressure helps to dissolve that additional oxygen into our plasma that becomes a powerful carrier of it to our mm-hmm. cells later on. So the sessions range, time frame of the session ranges, but it's usually between 1 hour to 90 minutes. And all you do is just breathe the oxygen, yes.
It sounds like a simple thing. And now, you know, one of the most interesting things that you've said is the pressure driving the oxygen within the cells and within our plasma and within our lungs and different parts of our bodies and tissues. Because there are a lot of people out there which will just get an oxygen generator and they will just put some oxygen. I'm sure there are some benefits to it, but this whole effect of, you know, increasing the pressure, which I'm sure increases the oxygen by 2 to 3 times, correct?
That depends on what amount of oxygen we're breathing. There is variations to this therapy. So just to break it down at the start so we all are on the same page discussing it. right now, hyperbarics, I think it became a bit of a hot topic because as people are trying to incorporate different therapies into their daily lives to support their well-being, to extend their life, to improve quality of life. So people started reaching out to this modality as well. And so there is, let's break it down to different types of hyperbarics we can do to understand that increase of the oxygen that you've mentioned. So there is a soft shell chambers and hard shell chambers. And these two different ways of administering extra oxygen will result in different amounts of that oxygen being dissolved in our body because of the pressure that it's changing. So depending on what is the intake of the oxygen and what is the pressure, then we can calculate how much of extra of this oxygen is actually dissolved. But let's remember that the saturation of blood of our with the oxygen will always be 100%. So it's the plasma that will carry that extra oxygen. And exactly is that pressure that creates the gradient that allows this more extra oxygen to be pushed into our cells and optimize the ATP, improve the ATP production, optimize the cell health, improve the health of the mitochondria, and this is where the whole magic starts. Let's put it this way. But just wanted to speak a bit more about this hard shell chambers, soft shell chambers.
Yeah, tell us what they
different
are.
Different pressures. I feel like this is very often the question that I get asked. And we have to be very clear here that with the therapeutic use of hyperbarics, and as we know it from clinical setup, it only focuses on hard shell chambers, 100% oxygen, and usually higher pressures. Because the initial researched and approved conditions, and approved meaning as well the ones that are reimbursed by insurance and provided in the medical clinical setup, usually require a lot of sessions and are very severe in nature. Now, people realized as well that maybe these lower pressures could be beneficial also. At the end of the day, hyperbarics is heavily rooted in physics laws, in in diving medicine, but also here, because we always play on the scale of pressure and oxygen, the soft shell chambers were initially used as a rescue equipment for climbers to help them battle the altitude sickness. So if we just break it down, it's just like almost we're in that on the very wide scale of pressures and oxygen. So it's very difficult to say and to be definite in saying that something works and something doesn't. I feel that there is definitely, and we have studies for that, that show us which pressures are more beneficial for which conditions, and definitely 100% we are sure that the conditions that are well studied with clinical trials and their approved indications, they respond to usually higher pressures. They're more aggressive in nature, but they treat more severe cases as well. So people kind of turn towards milder pressures and hope to optimize their health. So for example, a person like me and you, that we care about our bodies, our health, and our well-being, we always try to look for things that, what else can we do to help our bodies work better?
What can we stack?
Exactly. How can we stack other things together? And this is where I feel milder pressure came into the field. And this is where people are kind of confused. Does it work or it doesn't? So this is where we need to kind of...
It was used to use for like scuba diving, right? For like the bend sickness or the decompression illness.
Exactly. This is actually going back to the story of hyperbarics. So just to touch on that a little bit, the first chamber was constructed in 1662 by clergyman, British clergyman called Henshaw. And this is to say, you know, hyperbarics, it's not a new thing
at all. It's been there for a while. 1600 is a long time.
Yes. So it's definitely not just a new thing that, you know, hit the
market. Was it the one that was called Domisolum?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Yeah, you're correct. Yeah. Very well. You know a lot. And so later on, towards the end of 19th century, this is exactly what happened. So towards the end of 19th century, the workers that were building Hudson River Tunnel started to experience this weird, strange condition that would cause them to bend in pain. This was exactly that, the decompression sickness, which we call bends because of the posture that apparently they had when coming out of their kind of like box-structured builds. That's why it was also called caissons disease. So at some point they actually installed the recompression chamber for these workers to help them get rid of that extra nitrogen that they've accumulated working underground. So the whole hyperbaric medicine actually comes from diving medicine, and decompression sickness is one of the very first approved indications for the use of hyperbaric chamber. And this type of, and this is what is being treated as well and under extreme pressures.
Those are the hard
yes,
chambers,
those
right?
Yes, those are the hard chambers always. We have them here in Dubai Police, at Deep Dive Dubai, there is one as well, of course. And these are very well established and very well understood protocols to help these people. But here we can see a little bit how it works. So these high pressures are always responsible for extreme conditions like decompression sickness, arterial gas embolism, monoxide poisoning.
Yeah.
We cannot really help these people if we have not enough pressure, not enough power to push that oxygen deep in our blood.
Interesting. I'll tell you a funny story and I'll tell everyone a funny story. Last year I was in Thailand and my girlfriend wanted to do this whole scuba diving thing. It was a gift for her birthday. I'm not a big fan of water, like especially deep water. My swimming skills aren't that great. So anyway, I go on this entire thing and there I was like, why do I need to do this entire license? I can just, you know, jump. Although I didn't know how technical it was. And they told me, if you have decompression illness, no insurance will cover you. And if you had to go to the doctor's office to get into a hyperbaric treatment, you might spend hundreds of thousands of dirhams, dollars, whatever, depending on your condition. So that's the point I realized, that these hyperbaric treatments are very expensive, especially the ones which are there in like hospitals for decompression. But anyway, I don't think many of our listeners like me are divers or swimmers. What we are really interested about is how can we affect a multitude of things in our own life? Like you said, we love to stack things. Everyone who's listening to this wants better health, better sleep. They are interested in longevity, in performance, in, you know, a lot of people in weight loss. Fertility is a big one. And from what I understand, that hyperbaric is a umbrella therapy which can help with everything. And I want to know from you, how does it do it? Like, what is it doing so that a person increases his performance, his sleep, his, you know, oxygenation we know. But like all of these other factors, how is hyperbaric doing it?
Yes, so within the indications that are approved by FDA, and the same rules actually apply and same regulations apply here in the UAE. We know what are these conditions. I will not go into detail about it, but it's mainly severe wounds and severe infections like gas gangrene. So we know, because it's well studied, what are the mechanism of action for hyperbarics. So this is a good lens to kind of look through when we think of what are the conditions that could respond to this therapy as well. And here, just a fun fact for everyone, this therapy moderates or modulates over 8,000 genes. So
wow.
It's extremely powerful, right? Mm-hmm. It's a very powerful tool.
And when you say modulate, that means like it turns those genes in our favor.
Yes, turns them on or as well off, depending on the gene and what is it responsible for. So the main mechanisms of action for hyperbarics is, as we know, hyperoxygenation, vasoconstriction, so tightening of the veins, which helps with swelling.
Yeah, I mean, I think for inflammation, this is one of the biggest factors I've seen in myself and in a lot of people that have been using it. It turns off all of these COX-2 pathways and all these inflammatory pathways like NF-kappa-B and all of these different ones that actually increase our inflammation. So a person goes in, comes back less inflamed. As a reason, they're less swollen. As a reason, they have much more energy. And what I saw, which was interesting, is you mentioned wounds. And like for something which is as common as like a diabetic ulcer on the foot, your recovery can boost up to like 50%. And that's crazy. If you see your, over a period of time, you see your HSCRP, which is your high sensitive C-reactive protein, which is also a very good indicator of inflammation in your body. There are studies that it decreases it by 30%, and that's huge. And for me, I'm always looking for the inflammation part, because one of the reasons why we age so fast is because of a thing called inflammaging, which is inflammation and aging together. So
yeah, so you touched on a lot of those mechanisms of action here, and that is true. Diabetic wounds are the ones that are treated with usually higher pressures, but from this, we can suspect that any type of wounding would mm-hmm. be actually responding to that therapy. It promotes new veins mm-hmm. formation, so angiogenesis, neurogenesis, boosts stem cell production, mm-hmm. As well influences, it impacts our genes. Mm-hmm. And we know from the studies, mainly done by now Israeli doctor that also has a big hyperbaric clinic here in Dubai.
Aviv Clinic, right?
Yes, Dr. Efrati. They found that the telomeres are lengthened by 20%.
Mm-hmm. I saw that study, yeah.
So it's really incredible. It's very powerful.
Just to tell the audience, like if your telomeres lengthened by 20%, what is an average effect of that on human lifespan? It's 25 years reduction. So you can reverse your age by 25 years if you have a 20% decrease in telomere length. This was a 2020 study done by the Israeli guys. But also there are a multitude of other studies which have used human models and animal models mostly. And there they have seen a telomere reduction by 38%. So that's fascinating. And for people who are listening, telomeres are like, there are these protective caps at the ends of your DNA chromosomes. And basically think of it like a shoelace. The longer they are, the longer you live. The shorter they are, your lifespan can go a bit less. And of course, you know, it could be stress, it could be radiation, it could be not sleeping enough. All of these factors can put an impact on your telomeres. But that was super interesting. I also saw one study where they showed that stem cells can be increased by 800%. And that is massive.
Yes, and for stem cell production, of course, this is a huge number and probably achieved with higher pressures as mm-hmm. well and multiple sessions. But we know that actually stem cells do respond to lower pressures as well, mm-hmm. meaning out of the two, oxygen and pressure, it's the pressure that mm-hmm. helps them activate. So that is really great, because a lot of us probably have access to lower pressure chambers, or you maybe have other conditions and don't want to get exposed to like higher pressures. So the stem cell, the stem cell part is incredible because it's very, I believe there's no other non-invasive therapy like that that would be so impactful. Here comes as well a little bit of a difficult part to studying it because it's a systemic holistic therapy, and as we know, clinical trials require very, very sterile almost environment to figure things out, to make sure that okay, this compound will switch off this thing and switch on that thing in almost everyone. Whereas with this, it's very hard to tell because our bodies are in different. We're in different places within our bodies, within our cells, how strong our mitochondria are, where is the inflammation in the body, how much of it there is as well. So we respond to it very differently, which is why when people try to figure out how many sessions do I need, it's really hard to tell because it's difficult to predict how each and every body will respond to it. We know that to really impact the stem cell, we're looking at starting range of 10 to 20 treatments plus. But again, it's depending on what is your condition or, you know, what is your capability. This is where you need to weigh, you know, the time you put in and what you get out of it.
I think it will be interesting to tell the audience that, so for example, let's say you go for an ice bath or you go for a sauna or you go for red light therapy or something like these. These are the popular biohacking modalities. You can go to one and you get some sort of a difference, like you feel an effect. But with the hyperbaric, the more effect you want it to have on you, you have to do multiple sessions. And I guess this is one of the confusing parts that people have, where people say, should I do one session? Should I do five sessions? Should I do 10 sessions? And I have personally seen a lot of physicians and doctors recommend all the way up to 40 sessions.
Absolutely.
And can you tell us like why? Like why so many sessions?
I like to compare it to, you know, trying to maybe get a six pack.
Okay.
If you go once to the gym,
I like
you will
that
feel
analogy.
Good. You will feel good.
Yeah.
Because of course the endorphins release, you know, you will feel accomplished. There's many, many ways this one trip to the gym will impact you. And same with hyperbarics. Most of us, especially living here in Dubai, we know the weather is right now as we're recording. It's July, it's dusty, it's horrible outside. So breathing the extra oxygen will make you feel a lot better. Usually people report amazing sleep after the first session. But that's about it. To reap the most benefits out of it, we need to continue at it. We need to commit to it to actually achieve results. And
is it lifelong commitment or
depending okay. on some people that fight inflammation as a part of the chronic condition would most likely be committing to a lifelong use of hyperbarics, but a lot of people seem a little bit intimidated by it, and I don't quite understand because there's many things we do for duration of our life without even thinking about it. And I know that in this, how we understand this therapy and why it's even called therapy, we look at oxygen as a drug, but actually, and this is the amazing conversation we had with Dr. Jason Saunders and Dr. Masha Makeva during last certification course I did. Why don't we, if we try to look at the oxygen as a nutrient, then the whole thing changes. It's incredible. Just if we think about this therapy again, it's called a therapy. That means there is a drug in it. And it's true. Oxygen is seen through a lens of a drug when we talk about hyperbarics. But one of the amazing conversations we had with Dr. Saunders and Dr. Masha Makeva during the last certification course I did was trying to look at the oxygen through a perspective of a nutrient, and that changes everything. If we look at it as a nutrient, we look at it, yes, we do depend on it. You know, we can go only as much without water or food. So it's like days or weeks, depending. But without oxygen, we can only go a couple of minutes. So, you know, if you think about it this way, if you challenge your thinking in and look at this therapy from this perspective, this lifelong commitment is not as intimidating or scary, I believe. And for a lot of people, it gave hope of better quality life. Now, some people might just look for a relief from their wounding, or these are courses of the therapy that usually would close between 40 to 60 sessions. But it's true, to get the most benefit, you need to keep at it. The frequency over duration, that's for sure, because it has the accumulative effect. So so if we want to, it would be better to treat it as a course rather than, say, spread it out like ice bath, okay? Maybe you do it this week, maybe then 2 weeks later. No, with hyperbarics, it's like if you're going to do it 10 times in a year, it's better to do it like day after day for 10 days straight.
So you take a break, do it, I mean, take a day or two break and then do it. Interesting, you mentioned Dr. Jason Saunders. Him and his wife are good friends. He was actually one of the first people I interviewed on my podcast like 3 years ago. And I've had dinner with them in US. They're very cool people. And, you know, this, I think looking at oxygen as a nutrient is a great strategy, but also because there are very few people like you and the Dr. Jason Saunders in the world who understand this, who have accessibility to it. And also there is a huge thing when it comes to the price point. This is not for everyone because not everyone can pay for it. So it's a therapy that's been around for, you know, like we mentioned, since the 1600s. But also when we look around the world, I don't know what's the latest number, but the last I checked, especially in the US, there were like only 1,200 certified practitioners and we're like 8 billion people. So when you look at it from a lens of that, I think that is why it's so difficult for people to kind of understand and get, because we live in a very progressive country, Dubai. Thank you, Sheikh Mohammed. But if you go to like other parts of the world, people haven't even heard of a hyperbaric. There's probably only one government hospital that has some hyperbaric treatment, but in the private sector, no one has it. So
true. And you've highlighted the issue. So just to make it clear, like, the way this therapy can impact your life and your health, it should be like front page news. You know, everyone should know about it. It should be extremely common. It should be accessible to everyone. That was how I felt when I first got to know about it and where my journey started. So knowing that it's scarce, knowing that it's probably underused, it's a real big shame. And I'm hoping that this will change with time. Now I think we are really facing this moment where people are trying to take their health in their own hands.
They're taking it much more seriously.
Yes, and as we're looking for solutions to their problems on their own, and they do some critical thinking and try to, you know, help themselves as well. The regulations are tough on this therapy. And there is only 13, 14 conditions that are actually approved for it. So it's, why is it like that? It's, like I said, it's very hard to actually measure the improvement of this therapy on people because it's a holistic systemic therapy. So it is very hard to have studies where, you know, we pick people, we select people for the studies, and, you know, everyone passes the criteria and everyone responds the same. This is a real big challenge. And this the fact that the regulations are so rigid around it certainly does not help. You know, I really wish that people know more about it, educate themselves more about it, study most importantly the mechanism of action, and try to see what other things can hyperbarics do. And as well, we are now in this moment, I think, where hyperbarics, it's either like high pressure or mild pressure. Some people even discredit mild pressure completely.
Most people don't know about anything about these pressures.
Or that. But even still, you know, there is a whole range of pressure that we can work with, and it can be beneficial for different things. We know that for cognitive function improvement, we are looking at pressures not going over, say, 1.8 atmosphere absolute. So there's a whole range that we can work with, and we are so selective. So I'm hoping that the future for hyperbarics is making it more mainstream, more doctors realizing that this is something that can be, you know, added to their patient's journey. Funny, most referrals or most people that call us and ask for the therapy are referred from doctors from the US or Turkey.
Yeah, Turkey is huge for hyperbaric.
Yes, it helps. You know, going back to wounding, what you said, if you think about it, it heals the tissue. But also, if you are, for example, about to have a surgery or, you know, this type of intervention, it would be great actually to use it as a preventative measure to condition your tissues to, you know, heal faster after the surgery is done. So it can, we say treatment because we think there is something wrong with us, but no, not exactly. It can be just used as a preventative measure. Absolutely, yes.
I remember when a few months ago when I tore my MCL and we met at a biohacking event, and I was telling everyone, "Hey guys, I can't walk properly. I've tore my MCL." And then you recommended to me jump into the hyperbaric and then do it. I did it for 3 days, but I must tell you, yeah, there were other things that were going on, red light therapy, ice baths, peptides. For me, soft chamber or hard chamber, it doesn't matter, but it's a big commitment. If you have to drive somewhere, if you have to, like, I think that is also one of the things that people are, that's why people don't commit so much, because you've got a, time is scarce. Everyone's running, you know, traffic, lots of responsibilities. And here, if a person goes to a hyperbaric chamber and you have to spend at least an hour there and then drive time to that place, drive time to back. So this almost takes about like 2.5 to 3 hours. And to do it every second day, this is why I think it's still reserved for like the, not the average person, but I'm really hopeful that a lot of, because the technology is very simple and to scale it is also very simple. There are so many other, like, you know, people are coming up with newer technologies. I think it can be in the next 10 years a part of every community center where a lot of more people will get access to it. So that's the future that I'm hoping for.
Absolutely. And, you know, there is as well
projects. What about gyms? Do you think, would it be a good idea? Because I'm thinking, right? I go to the gym almost every day. I have driven there. I've parked my car. I've spent half an hour, 45 minutes or an hour. What if 2 to 3 times per week I could get a hyperbaric treatment there? Do you think in the future, like accessible places, like can malls have hyperbarics like as a service by itself? Can hotels, like high-end hotels, have hyperbarics in their spa? Can gyms have hyperbaric? I think that could be an interesting way to kind of make it more accessible to people.
Of course, the more communities integrate this, the more places offer this type of service, the easier it would be for you to do it. And it would be fantastic to have kind of like a protocol set up and, you know, just being able to do the session just, you know, anywhere. So it's convenient for you. That's why many people opt for the soft shell chambers, because they can have them at home. The whole family can use it. It's very safe therapy. So just to touch on that here, would it be nice to have it in the gym or in the spa? Let's speak about safety for a minute. So
Is it safe?
Exactly. It is safe, but let's speak about contraindications. That is important for everyone to understand. So there is very few absolute contraindications, and one of them is collapsed lung. So pneumothorax, it's basically your lung just...
So basically, if you have a collapsed lung or have some sort of like a lung issue, it's not advisable to...
Definitely. Okay. Unless you're as well have a decompression sickness at the same time, and then that's the way to save your life, then we overlook the lung. We look at the bigger picture. But for an average person, yes. And another thing that could hinder the treatment is not being able to equalize our ears. Luckily, we record this podcast from Dubai, so everyone came to Dubai on a plane, or most of us came to Dubai on a plane, so we are all familiar with the feeling of, you know, our ears getting blocked on the plane as we change the pressure. That is exactly the same feeling that we get in the chamber, although the motion is actually, it's a dive. Mm-hmm. So we decrease the pressure, increase the pressure and decrease our level.
Mm-hmm.
So not being able to clear our ears can result in a barotrauma. And the most common space for barotrauma happens up until 3 meters depth. So very shallow, right? But still, this is where I think there is some safety around hyperbaric that has to be in place. And, you know, probably this is why as well people are not... It's not a common thing to have chambers everywhere. You know, soft shell chambers are not really... They are not a medical equipment. Some people still, like I said, doubt their...
But they're good for biohacking.
But they're good for biohacking, right?
Yeah, as an uncertified biohacker, I can attest to this because I can say whatever I want, that I've seen great results with people and myself going into the soft shell chamber when it comes to all aspects of health, aging, cognitive function. We know that it increases brain-derived neurotrophic factor, nerve growth factor, all these learning factors which make our brain more plastic. That means younger. In our cells, it helps, you know, just change the integrity of the cell wall itself, because now the more oxygen that you're getting, you're able to get let go of toxins. And this thing that you mentioned in the beginning, ATP, which is your energy currency, it actually, one of the biggest drivers for that is oxygen. So the more oxygen you have, the more ATP you can create. And just like this, there are multiple examples where, you know, a soft chamber, even at 1.2, 1.5 atmospheric pressure, it's really good. You don't have to wait and go to the doctor's office or really get sick. If you can get access, and I hope in the future a lot of gyms and wellness centers and all of these places will have it, then even a soft chamber is fine, because you can get it, like you said, it's convenient. You can get it at your house. It's probably much more widely available than the heart shell chamber. Heart shell chamber is like a unique experience. I remember in 2018, I was in Thailand, and I heard about hyperbaric, and I was looking for, and Thailand being the medical place of Asia, I was looking for a hyperbaric chamber. I ended up in a hospital, and my brother was accompanying me, and he got so scared because this chamber was like a submarine. There's a huge room with like multiple submarines, and you know, there's a bed inside. You can literally stand inside, it's that big. And I'm inside, and there are like walkie-talkies and mics, and you know, this is my first time experiencing a hyperbaric. And the one thing that I was doing all the time is equalizing, because right in the beginning and right at the end, you feel like, you know, you're feeling a lot of pressure, just like on the airplane. But they have these big airplane like windows, and my brother was just outside. He's like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "I'm fine." And I just like, I was meditating inside.
I love
trying
how
to go
you
to sleep.
Did the diving sign.
Yeah,
I'm okay.
I still remember.
Yes, this is exactly it comes from diving medicine. So very often people refer to it as a dive. But that's amazing that you got to experience the heart shell chamber, mm-hmm. as well. They are a bit different. The soft shell ones are, you can operate them yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The hard shell chambers, you usually have an operator during that session because of the higher pressure. So mm-hmm. as well, more safety mm-hmm. And more risk involved.
Have you seen the one in Aviv?
Yes, I've seen it.
It's like an airplane.
Yes, and they
it's
get...
just like Emirates Business Class.
Yeah.
You're sitting down. You have all the movies. You have a headset.
Yes,
you have a drink.
Your iPad.
You have everything. Yes.
They really focus on cognitive improvements and anti-aging. So, and that development towards seeing how hyperbarics can help our brain and optimize the health of our brain when it comes to Alzheimer's, Parkinson, MS, or CP, or just in general, improving the neuroplasticity of our brain. That is extremely exciting area to look at. And here, just wanted to talk about there was a podcast by Dr. Masha Makeva. It's called Hyperbaric Living. And one of the episodes, her guest is an American horseback rider, Christine Hollenbach. And throughout her career, she experienced many falls from the horse.
Concussions.
Of course, concussions or, you know, lots of different brain injuries along the way. And so at some point, she found herself with her brain... brain function at 4%. So
wow.
She was basically on lots of medication and, you know, doctors were kind of, you know, helpless. They couldn't mm-hmm. help her anymore. She speaks about her addiction to opioids and how she found a doctor that guided her through the hyperbaric protocol, which within 50 sessions, she regained 44% of her brain function. That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, there was a neurofeedback that came in place as well. And she was back up to, I think, 80 or 90.
Wow, that's huge.
So that is incredible.
That's why a lot of NFL athletes also use the hyperbaric. And you have a lot of these athletes which are involved in contact sports. I know that UFC Sports Science Institute, they used to do a lot of biohacking, but I believe now they have a hyperbaric chamber because, you know, if you get punched in the face for a living, that means your brain function isn't the best.
Definitely. And we do have studies about TBI, post-concussion syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully there will be studies in US as well on PTSD and in veterans. So here as well, we can, you know, when we talk about brain and the brain function and, you know, how we are, yeah, thanks to how our brain functions, we can as well touch a little bit of like mental health, which
actually,
as well, Tina, the equestrian rider, mentioned. So she said that hyperbarics helped her a lot with the depression and, you know, low moods, migraines as well. That's because hyperbarics puts us in a parasympathetic state.
Which is your rest and relax state.
Exactly. And even if you think about the whole environment of this therapy, you are literally in an enclosed capsule.
Mm-hmm.
No one can, you know, you're just on your own. No one can disturb you. No one can bother you. There's no stimuli. So it's a very relaxing.
Until you mess with it. Like the last time I took my laptop inside. And I was answering emails while I was in the hyperbaric.
Yes,
not a good experience. I would not recommend
that.
Anyone.
Yes, yes. Or unless you're claustrophobic, of course, that is a contraindication for sure in itself because you are in a confined space. But otherwise, you know, the fact that we can profoundly relax our body can help other conditions.
Can you listen to music while you're in there?
With bringing electronics inside, you know. We shouldn't really, but I'm sure if you play music outside and you can hear it very well inside. Yeah.
Yeah, I was listening to and again, I'm an uncertified biohacker. I do a lot of crazy stuff, so I was listening to music. I was listening to my brain tap. I was listening to podcasts. I was taking calls, and the worst was when I took my laptop inside. I did manage to be productive, but you rather relax.
You rather relax, definitely.
Yeah. Another thing. So there are chambers where you see people lying down and there are chambers where you see people sitting, like on a couch like where we're sitting. Is one versus the other better, or is just different styles?
We can look at it as different styles. So we have soft shell chambers that are lay flat or sit upright. We have hard shell chambers that are monoplace and they're always lay flat. And we have multiplace chambers that you can sit in them, but also now there's technologies that you have reclining chairs and they are literally looking like Rolls Royce. Amazing. So here, you know, we can as well think about what type of chamber would be good for what condition. So of course, maybe if we have someone on a wheelchair or, you know, they don't move as much, or maybe the seated chamber would be more comfortable for them for obvious reasons. But we know that for cognitive function improvement, the lay flat position is the preferred one. As we know, the oxygen is carried with blood and plasma. And if we now, as we sit, a lot of our blood is in our legs, or, you know.
Okay.
So we try to distribute evenly the blood in our body. It's for this is as well the reason why we discourage like heavy meals before the session, because then all your blood goes to the stomach, and we don't want that really. For things that are important as well to think about, if we're going to have a session of hyperbarics, we should avoid coffee.
Okay, because so I can't go now without having my coffee.
Definitely not. It can, you know, it can decrease the efficacy of the therapy by 70%.
No way. Why is that? Because it's, of the vasoconstriction?
Exactly, yes. Okay. It will be too much. Already oxygen is a vasoconstrictor. So if we add caffeine on top of that, then, you know, it will be really hard for this blood with this extra oxygen to, like, pass and actually do the job. And we need to hydrate because, of course, the more, the better the flow of the blood, the better result of the therapy. I know you, biohacking, has hydrogen water bottles.
Yeah, let's talk about that. How does things like antioxidants, polyphenols, you know, hydrogen, which is one of the master antioxidant regulators in the body, if you have that in your body, is it even better to go into? Like, can you stack things on top of the other?
You can stack things up, but also there is a way to do it to get the best result, and as well depending where your body is when you start the journey. So if we are dealing with really a lot of inflammation or more severe conditions, the therapy might be hard on us in a way. We might feel low or tired. Okay, that means we don't have enough antioxidants. And it would be good to supplement some as we undergo hyperbarics. For general audience, let's say, a person like me or you, we should stay away from supplementing antioxidants as we undergo hyperbarics, because we're trying to optimize our own production.
So hyperbaric increases our own endogenous antioxidant. Got it.
Like glutathione, such a popular one these days. We try to let our body do the work. Because if we supplement it, then our body will think, okay,
there's no reason
you just gave it to me, then I will not work hard to make it for you. Of course, stacking it up with red light, that's as well the anti-inflammatory therapy, that is one way to do it. And hydrogen water, hydrogen especially in the water, because this is the preferred way that our body absorbs it. I've seen amazing results as well myself. One of the clients, she was using the chamber to help her eczema and some gastrointestinal issues, and we've seen tremendous results. Her eczema cleared in 4 days on the protocol she was on. Fasted sessions are preferred as well, which is why this kind of home use can be encouraged in some cases, because, you know, you can just, you know, roll from the bed to the chamber, have a glass of hydrogen water. That's perfect. And then start your day. So if we look at
it. Do you have to own it, or can you rent it? Because I'm thinking, like, for everyone, for the average person, if they want to do a few sessions, like let's say they want to do 20 or 30 or 40 sessions, but probably they don't want to invest in one. Are there options available here in the UAE where you can rent these or you know, lease it to buy? Like, what are the options that are available?
Yes. So lease to buy, I'm not aware of such options available as of now. Hopefully it will, you know, it will change as the therapy becomes more popular here and more people are interested in it. We do offer the rentals of equipment, and that's frankly the best way to see, you know, if you want to commit to it in a longer term, or in, you know, when it comes to investing in it for a lifetime, or, you know, maybe more than one person in your household would like to use it. But as well, sometimes within that rental, you can achieve the things that, you know, you can improve things that you were looking to improve.
You can throw a hyperbaric oxygen party, call all your friends and let everyone
in,
like,
a multi-place chamber. It's funny you say that. In 1928, gentleman called Cunningham, he opened like a big sanatorium. It was like a huge spheric building, and you were breathing air under 2 to 3 atmosphere absolute pressure, and people inside just smoked and lived their best lives. But now it's, you know,
I wouldn't do the smoke part, but like, guys, hold on, I'm going to invite.
Touching on, yes, multi.
We'll make a place like a Aviv chamber. Maria, this has been fascinating. I think, you know, a lot of people were so confused with hyperbaric, and now you have given them a basic 101 on what it is, how it is. And hopefully we'll continue our conversations more. I want the audience to listen to this. You know, you can go try an hyperbaric chamber, then send us your questions. If there is any comments or suggestions, we would love to answer them. But we want to hear it from you guys. But Maria, thank you so much for joining me on today's podcast. Now, off the hyperbaric topic, I'm going to ask you my final question. This is the same question that I've been asking for the past 2.5 or 3 years. If I put you in a time machine and you could go back in time and you could give your younger self one piece of advice, what would that be?
I would always say, trust your gut. This is on a personal level, my answer, but a lot of the times in my life, I feel if I've trusted my gut, I would have gotten to the place where I ended up anyways, but a little bit faster. Having said that, I do believe that things really happen for a reason. So I'm grateful for the journey, grateful to be here and share all that knowledge with the audience. But definitely our guts knows best. Yeah.
Have you found a way to tap into that gut feeling or intuition, like after all these years? Is there something that, you know, because a lot of people who listen to this, they have heard about this gut feeling, but they don't know how to kind of tap into it. Is it the first thing that comes to your mind, or is it like, you know, that how do you explain it?
I genuinely feel it in my gut. It's like, okay, that feeling that something does not sit right. And a lot of the time, you know, it's like when you sit a test and like your first thought is usually mm-hmm. the right answer, but then you like overthink things mm-hmm. and then you mark a wrong one. Mm-hmm. It's that, but in real life. So mm-hmm. I think just trusting in yourself. I think because we have so much outside stimuli and people telling us to do things this way or that way to be the best, mm-hmm. to, you know, telling us what to do, we kind of lost touch with our own selves. Mm-hmm. But here I want to say a lot of people don't feel anything first time in hyperbaric, you know, chamber. For me, because I feel like I'm in touch with my body, myself, mm-hmm. I do feel the spaces that are maybe giving me trouble. So if it's like the tennis elbow, mm-hmm. I feel it inside the chamber. So it's mm-hmm. it's incredible, you know, if we spend some time reconnecting with ourselves, mm-hmm. what signals can we read from our own bodies and our own minds?
You know, there are about 75 trillion cells in the human body, and more than 100 trillion of them extra are these microbial cells. So there are diverse populations in our gut living, which are more than our human cells. And most of the times, they're the ones who are synthesizing vitamins. They're the ones who make your happy hormones. They're the one who can stress you out. And sometimes they can observe reality faster than you. And this is also another theory where, if you have your gut feeling, there are different sort of organisms within you which kind of understand what's going on. And this can go into a whole different podcast on energy medicine and Absolutely. All of that stuff. But everyone, listen to your gut feeling.
Yes.
Thank you, Maria.
Thank you.
If people want to get in touch with you, how do they get in touch with you?
You can visit our website, oxylife.ae, or check out our Instagram. And hopefully, you know, as you scroll through it, you learn some more about hyperbarics. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me. I'm happy to, you know, always answer, or if I cannot answer your question, redirect to, you know, people that have done tremendous work in the field mm-hmm. and are happy to, you know, share their expertise and educate. If you're a clinic or if you're a private person wanting to get a chamber, you know, I'm trying to, this was my mission behind what I do, trying to bring it closer to people. And, you know, helping to establish just these connections, helping to put things together. For me, it was as well a journey of learning about hyperbarics. And I had to go really, you know, I had to look far, far for it.
Thank you for doing all that
work. I'm trying to bring it closer to us here. You know, we're living in a very futuristic, future-oriented country. So, you know, I just want to say one thing before we... Before we close, we're talking about flying taxis. Mm-hmm. My absolute dream would be for like first response teams and ambulances to be fitted with hyperbaric chambers. I think we could save a lot of lives, and yeah, that would be amazing. That would be a dream.
That's a great dream. And hopefully if you're in the government or you're in a hospital and you're listening to this podcast, talk to your manager, talk to someone who is responsible, share with them just the research that's available online. You can change someone's life. You can better serve your clients. And it can be profitable as well. So with that, thank you, Maria, for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure. And this is your host, CJ, signing out of the Shift with CJ podcast. Everyone, have a great day, a great week, a great lifetime ahead of you. Remember to trust that gut feeling. It's going to lead you to the right place. See you in the next podcast. Your time and presence with us through this podcast is highly appreciated. If you want to learn more, then head over to our website, www.shiftwithcj.com.